Hi there, welcome back to the Developer's Guide to Windows 10. I'm with Shen here, and we're going to talk about app services.
App services.
Okay, so we just did a session on app-to-app communication, which was more about kind of foreground apps cooperating, one app, foreground app, launching another one. The control, change of control is pretty seamless to the end user. It just looks like, you know, you just see some more screens. They don't know that that's going on. Now, this one is kind of interesting. But
I like this one.
Yeah.
Especially the whole like web services thing resonates quite well.
Yeah. So we're going to position it first, tell you kind of what the scenarios where it's going to be used. Talk about how you code up a client, how you code up a server, how you debug one of these things. Then we'll talk a little bit about kind of other things to think about with all of this in terms of how you can use it and best practice and that sort of thing. So first of all, let's just position them as what they are. So here's the thing, it's a special case of a background task. So we started talking about background execution this morning where you had a simple example. And since then, it's been just popping up all the time. So, you know, it's going to become more and more the case that apps are going to be like a not much of a foreground app, just a collection of background processing. This one, it's an app with an app service. It does have a foreground app, but the important stuff is what goes on in a background task. And it's a background task that, if you remember from the background execution one, the normal case of this sort of thing is that a foreground app has a background task to do other things when it's not running in front of the user. And it registers a background task, and there's various triggers that could cause it to run, like a push notification trigger or a time zone change trigger or
internet
some kind of thing. Internet connection coming. So then it comes into life and it does stuff in the background on behalf of its parent. Well, this one, actually, you could think of this as client app C in a sense. You know, this is a background task that's not triggered by necessarily, it gets triggered by somebody else calling it.
It's not a system change at this point. It's more triggered by another app.
Another app launches it and then it stays around and it provides services to clients.
Yeah.
So just like a web service. Just like a web service, but it's on device.
Device service.
It's a device service, you know, let's think of, I don't know, what could we use? You could have a barcode scanning service. So maybe a client, you don't want to go and find some library somewhere. Maybe you've got an app that has a background task that can do that decoding. And the client, all it has to do is grab the image and just send it over to the background task.
So it could essentially be, like you said, so an app that's actually very good at scanning like barcodes or QR codes. And then you might have another app, which is a shopping app, like your grocery shop. And essentially that could then say, oh, well, you take a barcode scan of your milk, or whatever, and what it does is it passes that image off to the secondary app.
And the beauty of this is, obviously, you've got this thing, and you can continually improve it. And any of the clients just get advantage of all of that, reap the benefits all the time. So so you don't have to kind of rebuild this functionality into loads of apps. You just have it one time. It gets installed on the target machine, and it's there and available for people to use.
So. And to be clear, they don't have to be from the same publisher, right?
No, absolutely not.
They can be from different publishers.
Right. Yeah, we'll look at how you identify. Basically, it's a name. So
Okay.
Yeah. So you could have an enterprise suite of apps where you've got different background app services that provide certain specific services to this collection of apps that are all kind of need access to some of these features, and it's just a nice way of componentizing certain bits of functionality. So there's plenty of things you could dream up for.
Yeah, I was going to say there's quite a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully, people will use this feature a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's right. We put it out there, and actually, a lot of our first party apps are using app services for doing some of their tasks already. Very much think of this as it is like a web services on device or device services. So here's a bit of a lot of code.
Yep,
a lot of code. But I'm going to pull out. This essentially is a minimum. This is what a client needs to do to call an app service. So first of all, from the top there, you new up an app service connection. You need to specify every app service has a name.
Yeah.
But also it has a package family name. So package family name is the unique identifier. Okay.
Okay.
Whereas the app service name is, so a particular, actually the other thing is an app service, an app that's providing app services could provide a number of different named services. So what you're here saying here is package family name is that's the app that where I want to call. And
but it's got multiple endpoints.
So that's a named endpoint. So the app service name on that particular package family name is what I want to call. You then open a connection to it, open async, If that's successful, you cook up a value set object, which is just passing data from the client to the service.
Pairs, yeah.
And then you call connection.sendMessage async and wait for that response to come back from the app service. And if you get, once you get the response, once that awaitable call completes, you've got your response back and you can do something useful with it.
Yep.
Like put it in a message dialog.
That's not, what we always
not the
do
best thing. Yeah, it's a demo.
That's useful to us.
Yeah. That's very useful to us. Right, here's the service, first part of it anyway. It's a background task, no yep. surprise there. It has a run method, as all background tasks do. And there's a couple of interesting, the essential thing in here is that in the run method, you hook up a request received event handler. Now, okay. That's kind of interesting. So this is the run is the kind of launch, the bootstrapper of your app service. So you hook up this request received event handler, and then you'll include that in your app service as well. And this is an example of a request received.
Yeah. And
this is where you actually handle the request. And the thing is here, the app service, it's not a one-shot thing. Once it's launched, it will just sit there, and so it can handle multiple requests.
Oh, right, okay.
And we'll talk about what causes it to terminate. It's not particularly long-lived, but it'll stay alive as long as it needs to, basically. So you launch it, and the run will kind of, is the bootstrap, it gets it running.
Just to get it
and
started.
And then thereafter, request received will fire every time a new incoming message comes in. Now, when you get a new incoming message, obviously then you'll get the args.request.message. That's the value set that the client sent you.
Okay.
So you decode it, you pull data out of it, you do some processing, and then you'll make another new value set, which is the result that you're then going to send back. So this is it. The client makes a value set with parameters to send to the service. The service does some processing and sends a value set back to the client. That's the flow. In the manifest of your app service, you have to specify an entry point of your background task, which is just the same as any background task, and you give it a name. And like I said, you could have more than one app service in any one particular application. So. That's the kind of, as you put it so well, an endpoint name, and that's declaring in the app service app, and this of course is the manifest. Now remember, the app service itself is a background task.
Yes.
But a background task has to have a foreground app associated with it.
Yes.
They can't exist in isolation. So this is the manifest of the foreground app.
Yeah.
Which. May not do anything. It might
it
pop up a screen.
A very blank app.
Yeah, it could put
much.
Up a screen saying I'm a background task. I don't do anything. Yeah.
We hope you don't see any of those. Though. We right. want like ones with nice use.
Or
places.
More likely, actually, the foreground app could be a client for
the
background task app services itself. But the point is any app can be a client for it. So that's nice. Now, the other thing that's interesting as well, you saw that hooking up a request received event on the service, which allows it to then stay alive and receive any subsequent incoming messages. Well, the client can do that as well. So the client can attach a request received event. And once it's got that channel open, it can hook up a request received.
Oh, right.
So you can actually have this chatty communication, async. You know, they can just send messages backwards and forwards to each other or whatever they like.
Yeah.
So both client and server can send and receive messages. So once you've established that connection, it's just an open async channel. So that's pretty cool.
So that sort of goes back to our question we were talking about before, where you could have the client and the background task talk to each other. This is actually one possible way of doing that, right?
Yeah.
With app services.
Yes, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because we said shared folder, but actually,
yes.
This, without thinking about it, this is actually.
And I'm just thinking about an email I had the other day, somebody, a project I'm involved with, where we need to have apps talking to each other. So
this would work fantastically.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Debugging tips. The one that's not on there is you could use PowerShell, as you said, to get the package family name. This actually is just a recap of what we said in the app-to-app communication thing. And then just a quick note about debugging it. So if you want to get the service package family name, if you do the store associate app with the store, that's where you get, you know, a proper package family name. And for an app that actually ends up getting shipped through the store, it has to be associated with the store, and it will have a proper, clean, lovely, nice package family name. But you don't have to do that process in order to test this thing. You can just use, if it, it gets a GUID, so you know, you could run the foreground app and put to the debug window the PFN, the package family name, and that will tell you what the package family name is of the service. And you need to know that because the client must specify it when it makes that call to start the app service up in the first place.
So I've got a question for you, for obviously the developers that are looking at this thing. This is amazing. So they want to be a good citizen on our platform.
Yeah.
And obviously they're all going to create background services like this so they can have that app service communication. Is there a way to discover what sort of, you know, when I've got an endpoint, is there a way to discover what methods are available to me, what commands I can set in my command set? Or is this something developers should now say, well, actually, now you've created this app service, you need to document somewhere what's available, because there's no discovery protocol like on a SOAP, there's a WSDL sort of thing.
Well, no, an that's a great example, because this is like a REST service.
Yeah.
And actually, I mean, although, you know, there's been various efforts to try and build in a discovery protocol for regular kind of REST services, actually, there isn't one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm afraid, yes, it's a base. You need to put up a website and document your service and the services it provides and how to what the protocol is, what you need to send in a value set and this sort of thing. But actually, we're going to come on to the idea of if you're going to create and ship an app service, it might be a good idea to create a client SDK as well, so you can actually, so I'm going to show that towards the end of this to simplify, because actually, I mean, it's simple, the communication with an app service, but still there's a lot of plumbing code in there that you'd rather do without, you know. So okay, here we go. Yeah, you're getting the package from there. You need to know that so that the client can call it. Then the other way, the way you debug app services is, use this do not launch, but debug my code when it starts thing. So you can then fire it up, and the debugger gets running, but your app doesn't launch. So it just waits
for it to be activated. Just attaches to the process.
Yeah, attaches to the process and waits for things to happen. So then you can run your client, send it a value set, and then you're into debugging your app service. So just to clarify how that works. All right, let's have a look at this.
Demo.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got a very, very nice simple app service here. I'm going to just run the client, show you what it does first, and then we'll dig down and have a look at what's going on. So it's a calculator. So you can, app service. Oh, 4 + 4 = 8. This is a really useful one. Yeah. But for illustrating the process, this is nice and simple one. Okay, so we're setting a breakpoint on the call logic, so we can have a look at how the client calls it. So here we go, we're on this method called ensure connection to service. We'll step into this. This is where we create ourselves a new app service connection, set the name of the service, the package family name, and then we call connection.open async. And if that's successful, then we call the app service. So this is where you build a value set with the values that we've sent, and then we call send message async. And here we wait for that response, and then we are simply showing that content dialog. This is where we got our result and putting it up on the screen. So that's the flow from the client's point of view. Now then, let's go ahead and look at the. This is the main screen. You can see this is the client app's foreground app, which actually doesn't have anything on it because that's not the point of this.
Yep.
And here we are. This one actually has two app services declared in its manifest. So we've got a synonym service, which we'll come on to, and this simple app services demo task, which is our calculator. Here's the app service task, the calculator one. Here's the run method. So we need a cancellation handler. We're doing some async stuff, so we get a deferral. And here we go. We're going to debug this. So we're going to set the do not launch, but debug my code when it starts. Start new instance, debugger will start up and attach the process, but nothing will be displayed because we're just waiting for it to be launched. Mm-hmm. And then we can simply run our client app. There's the app services demo, app services client app, sorry.
Yep.
Here we are, we're just going to go through that logic to do it. And we call the service, and at this point our background service, the app service launches, and we're into the run method. Now, we do a little bit of validation logic. And then the next thing is we're going to hook up that request received. So we've done that, let it run. Now we're into the request received. This is the method that's going to handle each and every incoming request. We can, it's using a simple command protocol. It's whatever you cook up, whatever you want to put in the value set. And then we put the response in, send it back to the client. And then we just, then we're back in the client again.
Nice.
And another one. You see, it keeps alive and it just keeps on running. And request received keeps executing, and you can just keep this process going on.
So it sort of keeps it open as long as it feels it's going to be needed, and then it'll just shut itself down eventually.
That's right. Yeah, nice and simple. So that's the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a look at a couple of things. Right, what about the app service lifetime? So first of all, it's activated on demand.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually got a special kind of trigger for that, but it's not one that the, you know, normally with triggers with background tasks, the foreground app for that background task has to register the background task using a background task builder, and it has to put triggers and conditions. So this one doesn't need any of that. There's absolutely no logic at all in the client app in this example.
Because you declare it in the manifest.
You declare it in the manifest, but actually under the wrappers, it's using a special kind of trigger called an app service trigger.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Now, a client can cause an app service to terminate simply by, you know, remember it does that connect async, and the client opens that connection. Mm-hmm. If it simply disposes of that object, then the app service will die as well.
Okay.
If the invoking app, the client app, is suspended, again, the app service will be terminated. So it only stays alive as long as the one or more of the foreground apps are actually active. If the system's feeling stressed, got insufficient resources, that could cause a launch failure or service termination. So you do need to check for that and account for it.
And the clients also have to check for that as well, I take it, in case the
background. In fact, it's more when they when they do connect async that they'll get a response back saying, no, I couldn't launch the app service. Yeah.
Yeah.
What protocol should we use over the wire? So we've got these value sets, which is just a string dictionary object dictionary.
It's a basic key value pair.
That's it. So you can basically cook up whatever protocol you like. It's a simple, it's meant to be designed to be very simple. We're not making any big strictures on how it should be. It's simple request response message API, and we use these string keyed value sets. So it's very easy to use with whatever payload you want. So effectively, you are defining a communications endpoint here. So you're just providing a mechanism for somebody to use its services. And you've essentially got to think of a protocol and then document it in some way so that people know how to call you.
Yeah.
So that's all it is. App services is a nice, lightweight way of providing services that other applications can take advantage of. But actually, you know, you could publish the raw protocol onto, you could put on a web page saying, oh, I've got this cool web service and this app service, and actually to use it, you need to send a value set with this key, and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, you could do that, and they could call your service like that, and they could do all the other stuff with, you know, the app service, open connection, and this sort of thing. But actually, it would be really nice for you to create a nice, strongly typed methods, just some methods that people can call to make use of your app service, and probably distribute that as a NuGet package so people can easily consume.
That'd be really nice, actually.
Yeah, that would be nice. And what about restricting access? Well, you've got to remember first, the client has to specify the package family name of the service, so it needs to know precisely which service it's calling. The service doesn't need to know what the package family name of the client is, but that information is accessible to it. Every call comes in with the PFN of the caller. So you could have a simple whitelist.
Yeah.
That might be just good enough, I would think. You could build more complicated validation schemes if you like. I don't know, dream up something, X509 certs or something. If you've got too much time in your hands, you could do that sort of thing. So there's other things, but you know, it doesn't need to be particularly heavyweight, I don't think.
No. Can you imagine it's more to be shared with everyone?
Yeah. And what about versioning this? So, yeah, you could have, you know, you've got a particular version of your app service you've put out there, and then you think of some new services you want to make available. So you need to put version 2 of your service interface out there, if you like. Well, just treat it like a web REST API. So, you know, typically with that, you will you provide new services, but you'll still support people calling the V1 protocol. So they're just value sets.
It's the usual, like, remain backwards compatible sort of thing,
yeah,
right?
That's exactly right, yeah, yeah. I mean, I suppose at some point in the distant future, you could say, do you know what? I'm just not supporting V1 clients anymore. But you could put telemetry in as well and find out if any old clients in there, and maybe contact the publisher and say, do you know what? I really want to retire this version now. Do you think we could upgrade your client? So,
you've got a couple of questions.
Yeah, a couple of questions. Shall we handle these? Yeah, do you deploy the app service separately in the store? Does it ride along the app? Yeah. So you need to... The app that hosts the app service just goes through the store like any other app.
It's a normal submission.
It's a normal
submission.
It comes
in with the same Apex anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's just, it treats you like a normal background service.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Exactly that.
And can we publish the service independently to the store? If yes, how?
Well, I mean, if you're, can you publish any app independently of the store? The answer to that is you can if you're like an enterprise, or the business store. You're going to be talking about this afternoon.
Will.
Yeah. So we're talking about the sideloading thing. But no, I mean, this is just another app. It's got unique characteristics. It provides services to other apps, but it's just another app. So if you want to have this available broadly to users of Windows 10 devices, that needs to go through the store, and it's a regular
question. Submission. Is probably even wanting to know whether they have to design a user interface or not, right? Because I want to give
question.
You a service, but I don't want to develop a user interface because it's not an interface-driven thing.
So
it's more
we're talking about a UI-less app service, really, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you still have to have some sort of UI anyway, because it is an Apex, and it'll go through the store, and obviously devices will look at it and go, okay, well, I want to click it, and at least I want to launch it.
Right. And I know the team are looking at this for the future, but at the moment you've got to have a foreground app associated with it, which could itself be a client of the app service. And maybe you think if you've created an app service, you've probably got a thought for how it might be used. So maybe you might actually couple the two together. Or you could simply put up an information page saying this is an app service and provides important functionality for others.
I think the key thing here is if you're a consumer in the store and you download it, you don't want to see a blank screen. One thing could just be to show the apps that actually potentially use your service already, so they can go and download those from the store as well.
Exactly. I'll just show you a quick example of the app service, the client library idea. So I've got an app service here that uses the Bing Synonyms API, which is up on the Microsoft Azure Marketplace. It's in Tech Preview. You can use it for free at the moment. And it's a REST service itself. So my app service packages calls to that. So this is the other one in this example here. This is my Synonyms service. So the Synonyms service task, what it does is you've got run. Here's our request received, where we process that value set, and it provides one sort of action, which is get synonym. And you just call this get synonyms async method, which is something that's also in my app here. Here we are. This is the get synonyms async. And this is just the code that uses HTTP calls, an HTTP client, to make a REST call to the Azure Bing Synonym service, and then gets the response back and returns them to the caller. Okay. That's what it's about. So there's our synonym service, and we've got a client. So let's deploy that app, and then we're now going to run the client. So here's the synonyms. Get synonyms for this is making a call to the other one. So you call synonyms for SeaTac, which is synonyms for SeaTac is Seattle Tacoma Airport. So that's the local airport around here. So you can see how that works. That's nice and easy. That all worked. Now, that's all right. But if we look at the code we used to call that, get synonyms. Let's go and have a look at that click event handler. Here we go. Go to definition. And here we are. It's the same old stuff. All this verbose, get an app service connection, set the app service name, set the package family name, open async, is it successful, hook up and on service closed, blah, 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 blah. And then you send the data. There we are with building our value set. We send the message, wait for the response, deserialize the response because it was JSON in this particular one. And then finally, we display it on the screen. So a lot of sort of boring, repetitive codes, which maybe clients of our service shouldn't have to write every time.
Yes.
Which is what this is about. Here we are. I've taken all of that code and I've just put it into a class library. And what I have done is basically taken all of that and wrapped it in one method called Get Synonyms Async. So this is for clients to use. and all that. So now what we can do is make use of that in our client app, add a reference to that library. Here we are. It is already referenced, actually. So there we go. We've got in our clients now making use of our, and that library, client library, we could ship that as a NuGet package. I haven't done that here. And now all we have to do is we comment out the old way of doing it.
Yeah.
And here we are. This, actually, this is the, comment out all of that. This is the new, nice, concise way. So this is now all the code you need in a client to call that app service. New up a synonyms client, and then call that get synonyms async. Nice and concise and clean, as it should be. And obviously, just check it still works. Synonyms for UK.
Hopefully, we get United Kingdom.
Great Britain and Northern Ireland, just to confuse people.
Yep.
Same thing, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so there we go. That's an answer for that. Before I talk about this, let's just, I've got a question. How would I keep an app service alive, e.g. streaming music? Oh, well, we have a, that's not quite the same thing. So we have specific ways of...
Streaming music is something different.
Yeah, that has its own APIs for handling that.
Yeah.
So an app service will stay alive as long as a client is up alive, but it's meant for this kind of chatty web service, REST call kind of thing. You know, you call it to do services, it returns something. It's request response kind of thing.
It's pretty much that.
Yeah, that's really what it
is. And you should treat it with the sort of app lifecycle of a normal app, like you could terminate it at any time.
I mean, we have got APIs in UWP for precisely what you want, which is playing for music streaming. So that's a specific kind of case.
Yeah.
Now, actually, I mean, I don't want people watching this to think this is all about XAML apps.
Yeah.
Because a lot of UWP, I mean, in the very first session, we were talking about the bridges and all these other things and web clients and this sort of thing. So all of these, like the app-to-app communication, launch URI sync, and a lot of this stuff that we're talking about that's not around XAML things, they're completely usable from other clients. And actually, now... Aranjeet Singh is the really nice guy, and he's really helpful, and he's the PM on the team who is responsible for all of this stuff. He loves to hear from people using it. You can get to him at Aaron Talks Tech. He has a blog, and he's got loads of great, really interesting examples on there, including recently he published one where you're calling an app service from a WPF or a WinForms, from a classical Windows app, a Win32 app. And that's just to open your eyes to this, and same with the launch for results and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's why these value sets are kind of simple. It allows you to cross between these different kind of
there's no complex
environments.
Objects sort of making not things
make complicated
more tricky.
Things. So have a look at that. It's really interesting, and just to open your eyes about how this could kind of work. Right, that was app services.
Yeah.
Quick look at it. We looked at the scenarios, how you do the client, how you do the server at the low level. A bit about debugging. We talked a little bit about versioning and how you and the app service lifetime, but then the nice thing is building a client API for your service to make it really nice and clean, simple methods for people to call it. Great. Thanks very much for watching that. We are going to take a 5-minute break, and then we're going to be back. Actually, going to look at porting 8.1 apps to UWP, which is interesting because it brings out a lot of the, they are very similar, but it brings out a lot of what a UWP, an adaptive UI is and all that, and the changes and what your experience is going to be like when you bring
it. Considerations you need to make as well when you're moving. It's a good lesson.
All right. Well, thanks for watching that, and we'll see you in 5 minutes.